Good morning. It is so good to see all of you today, this Palm Sunday. Our passage today is, I believe it's Luke chapter 7, verse 18 through 23. Luke chapter 7, verse 18 through 23. Okay. In the passage, we read, "The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And when the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, 'Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" Well, let's pray. Oh Lord, we call out to you today, as our Lord Jesus taught us to. Abba, Father. Lord, our best teachers on how to come to you and address you today are the children here at our church, crying out, "Abba, Father, lift me up, hold me, feed me, support me, strengthen me, be with me." Lord, we come to you in that way today. And if we aren't coming to you in that way today, Lord, will you just remind us of who you are? You're our dad. You're our father. The invitation stands to come to you that way. And I pray that you would just use your word today. Speak through your word. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, Lord, help us to come to your word expectantly. We truly believe you have something to say to us today. Help us to come to your word reflectively. Help us to just meditate on your word and savor it as if we were chewing just an amazing steak. Help us to come to your word just prayerfully, talking to you, talking with you about what we're hearing from you, what you're saying to us. Help us come to your word affectionately, just saying, "Lord, how does your word stir my heart for Jesus? How do I find myself moved in my heart by your love for me?" Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts in that way through your word today. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray this. Amen. Well, we are in our series called Rhythms of Grace. Rhythms of Grace. And what we're talking about, what we've been talking about, we talked about our vision series. Everything in our lives as disciples of Jesus are arranged around three goals: being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And so we ask the question, well, how do we do that? How do we live out those goals? Well, God has given us certain rhythms of grace. What is grace? It's where we experience God's activity in the world and in our lives. And so we arrange our lives around these particular rhythms. Today we are talking about the rhythm of witnessing. Witnessing about our belief in Jesus. Now, if you're anything like me, when you hear that, whenever you come to a sermon, whenever you come to a church and you hear about witnessing, I personally feel a sense of shame and guilt. Do you? Like when I come to church and we talk about, oh yeah, I'm talking to all my coworkers and people are coming to church with me and I led this person to Jesus. I think you are like, wow, that's cool. But in my mind, I feel like, well, I don't know how to do that. Have you ever felt that way? Like, yeah, I want people to experience what I am experiencing with Jesus. But I just don't know how to do that. Like, it's kind of awkward, isn't it? Like, do I just walk up to someone and say, hey, repent, believe in Jesus, bye. Well, I don't think so. At least I hope not. But in my personal life, I feel this sense of awkwardness when it comes to witnessing to other people about Jesus. And I feel this sense of, man, I'm just not good enough. You may be surprised, like, what, you're a pastor? Yeah, I'm a pastor. And I still feel like when I talk to people who don't know Jesus or even who do know Jesus, there is this tension I feel in my body. Like, well, I don't want to bother this person. I don't want to intrude on this person. I don't want to interfere with what they believe. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, we talk about witnessing all the time, but one of the big problems is that we just feel like I'm not good enough to do that. I'm going to let somebody else do that. What if it wasn't about how good you are? What if it wasn't about how eloquent you are? What if it wasn't about how great of a speaker you are? You might say, well, I'm not the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he was an amazing speaker. He always felt so sure of himself. And yet, look what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, and I, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Church, I think we are depending way too much on ourselves when it comes to witnessing. Even the Apostle Paul himself said, I did not depend on my eloquence or my speech or my intelligence. I came simply knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and I demonstrated life with Him to you in my words and in my actions. Like, how do we witness to people? We want people to experience what we're experiencing, right? Like, if you are a follower of Jesus and if you know Him personally, it's very hard to see others not experiencing that, not experiencing the freedom that you are experiencing, the healing that you are experiencing. So how do we share it? How do we witness to people? How do we do it? Well, our passage today, I believe, shows us how to do it. And it starts out with the disciples of John the Baptist. What are they doing? They go to Jesus. Why? Because, well, they went to John, and where is John? Where's John the Baptist? Well, we know that John the Baptist, when Matthew talks about the same story, he says that John the Baptist was in prison. John the Baptist had spoken out against Herod, and so Herod, of course, put him in prison. And remember, John had told people about Jesus. Said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He had told the people, even in Luke, he said, after me comes one who is greater than I. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He'll burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. In other words, he's going to come and he's going to bring judgment on the world. He's going to be what? He's going to be the king we've been looking for. Herod is not the king that we've been looking for. And no other king that we've had up to this time is the king that we've been looking for, right? But what did God do? He promised that He would bring a king. All throughout the Old Testament, He said, my kingdom is coming. My kingdom is coming. And when it comes, you are going to experience a king bringing it. And so John the Baptist says he's coming, he's here, and yet, hey, John the Baptist, look what Jesus is doing. He's healing people who are sick. He's giving sight to people who are blind. Yeah, but Herod is still on the throne. And people are still doing horrible things and getting away with it. And what about the judgment and the burning of the chaff with unquenchable fire? Where is that? What is John the Baptist experiencing? John the Baptist is experiencing doubt. Like, I don't really know if Jesus actually is the king that I thought he was. And so what does he say? He gets two of his disciples, and in the Old Testament, you know, you need at least two people to establish a witness of something. He says, go out and go to Jesus, and then come back to me with his message. And bring him this question. Are you the one that we're supposed to look for? Or should we look for another? In other words, should we hope in you like we thought we should, or should we hope in someone else? And it says at that very hour, what was happening? In that hour, verse 21, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. Now, John the Baptist had these expectations, like when the Messiah comes, it's going to look this way. Now it looks this way. It doesn't look like how I thought it would look, therefore it's not happening. But have you ever read the book of Isaiah? What does Isaiah say? He says, when God's kingdom comes, there's going to be an anointed king that brings it. And what are you going to experience? The blind are going to see. The lame are going to walk. The deaf are going to hear. Good news is going to be preached to the poor. What did Jesus say? In the book of John, when he stands up at the synagogue, the very first thing he says in his ministry, he unrolls the prophet of Isaiah. And he reads all of those things about himself. He says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Jesus, when he responds to John the Baptist says, are you the one we should be looking for, or should we look for another? Jesus says, well, you've been waiting for God's kingdom to come. What does Scripture say will happen when God's kingdom comes? Dead people, corpses will raise. People in wheelchairs will get up and walk. Blind people will see. Deaf people will hear. In other words, hey, John the Baptist, look around. What do you see? What do you hear? You see a kingdom that is now available for everyone. What had been the problem? We talked about this last week. The problem was that God created the world and he created us to live in communion with him. But we decided, no, we're actually going to make ourselves the king. And in doing that, we gave all of our power and all of our authority to the one that Jesus calls the evil one, the devil, Satan, who Jesus calls the ruler of this world. And so what does that mean? That this world lives under a kingdom that is not God's kingdom. But what had they been hoping for? What is the good news? That God's kingdom is here. God's reign and God's rule, where God wants to be done, is coming, and it's come in Jesus. And when Jesus comes back one day, it will be totally and fully here. But right now, he's come, and it's here, and it's not fully here. And so what does Jesus tell these two disciples to do? Go and tell John what? Go and tell John an amazing speech. Give him just an incredible sermon. Write down just these amazing words and read them to him. Go and tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. You know, in all of my years of following Jesus, when I've talked to people who know Jesus, who experience a relationship with Jesus, nobody has ever told me, well, I experienced the life and the hope that I have because Somebody came up to me and presented just this beautiful, spectacular speech about Jesus. I follow Jesus because I heard the most eloquent, wonderful sermon of all time. No, they say, I follow Jesus because I was dead and I heard the news about him and I experienced life. I was blind. I couldn't see where I was going. I heard the news about Jesus. I depended on him. Now I see where I'm going. I was deaf. I couldn't hear music and joy. And now because of Jesus, I hear things I never heard before. I was stuck. I couldn't move. I was lame. Now I walk. So what do people need? They don't need us to be smart. They don't need us to be funny. They don't need us to be eloquent, but they don't need us to be amazing. They don't even need us to go to seminary, though I think seminary is awesome. But if we think people need those things, we will constantly count ourselves out. Like, no, I can't do it. What did Jesus say? He said, go and tell them what you have seen and what you have heard. If I reported to you something I've seen and something I've heard, what would that make me? A witness? If I was on trial and they said, hey, Cody, what did you see and what did you hear? Why would they be asking me about that? Because they would want me to witness to something. So what do people need more than anything? They don't need your eloquence. They don't need your impressiveness. They need your excitement. Like, are you each day just soaking up the goodness that God's here and his love has been poured out into your heart and that it's available to everyone? That's what people need more than anything, just what you've seen and what you've heard. And when we're excited about something, what happens? People get to come and experience that with us. Look at what John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Who is that? Jesus. We saw him. We experienced him. The life was made manifest and we have seen it and testify. We witness to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. Why? Because we have to? Because we're supposed to? No, he says, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy, your joy, may be complete. Have you ever seen a good movie? Do you just keep it to yourself? No, you share it with people. Hey, I love that movie. That movie was so good. Do you ever hear a song that you like? Man, that song was so good. I don't think anybody wants to hear it, but I like it. No, we share things that we are excited about. Look, I've been wanting this Bible for like 4 years. Marcella just bought it for me as a 2 month early birthday present. Our friend Emily came here from Dallas. What did I do? Emily, look at my Bible. Look at what Marcella gave me. Why did I share that? Did she need that? I don't think so, but I was excited about it. Like, look what I have. Look what I'm experiencing. That's what God is calling us to. Not to say, let me write a paper about the binding of this Bible, but to say, oh, wow, look at this gift that I have. Let me tell you about it so that you can share in the joy with me and that in sharing with the joy with me, our joy may be complete. That is what God is looking for when he calls us to witness, to share what we have seen and what we have heard. Is he calling us to make decisions for people? I don't think so. I've never made a decision for anybody. Nobody's ever made a decision for me, but people have shared news with me and I have acted in response to that news. You know, one time, when I was living in Dallas, I lived in this apartment with my friend Brennan. And I was trying to convince my friend Brennan about a restaurant I really loved. Have you ever heard of the restaurant La Madeleine? No? Well, maybe one day when you're in Texas, you'll go. It is a French restaurant. Have I convinced you yet to go there? Well, I was trying to convince Brennan how good La Madeleine is. Like, Brennan, you've got to go. You've got to taste La Madeleine. And whenever we would decide, you know, as roommates to go eat somewhere, he'd say, I don't want to go there. No, let's go eat gyros or something. So finally, one day, Brennan said, okay, I'm going. Let's go to La Madeleine. We went to La Madeleine. Brennan tried the tomato basil soup. Brennan tried the croque monsieur magnifique. Brennan tried the bread with the butter and the jam on it. Brennan tried all of their food, the tarts. And you know what? I could not get Brennan to stop going to La Madeleine. When we would decide where to go eat later on, what would he say? Yeah, let's go to La Madeleine. Say, Brennan, okay, like, can we go somewhere else now? But no, Brennan just loved La Madeleine. And honestly, I've created the La Madeleine monster. I think he's single-handedly keeping La Madeleine in business to this day. But now, what? When Brennan went to La Madeleine, did I say, well, now I've got to go cook the food for him? No. I told him La Madeleine is good. I trusted in the power and the ability of La Madeleine to come through. And if he came to La Madeleine and if he didn't like it and if he didn't want it, that's not on me. That's between him and La Madeleine. All I need to be is a person that says, hey, look, that place is good. You will love it. I'm being a witness. I'm trusting in the power of that place to be the goodness that he will experience by going there. It is the same way when it comes to us being witnesses of Jesus. But God's not calling us to be somebody's savior. He's saying, come to me and I'll heal you. I'll be the light in the midst of the darkness in your life. And we, as people who have received that, who experience that, we simply go out and we live among people. We enter into their lives. And we say, hey, how's it going? How are things going for you? Great, you know, blah, blah, blah. What's something you're thankful for? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, what's something you're thankful for? Oh, man, well, I just feel so grateful that, man, I just experienced time with the Lord today and remember that he loves me and cares about me. Oh, really? Wow, that's cool. Wow, tell me more. I mean, this doesn't have to be like a cold call. This is just everyday relationships, just sharing what? What you have seen and what you have heard, not depending on our own abilities, and not just assuming people don't want to hear it. I mean, imagine what would happen if we just stopped walking around thinking people don't want hope. John the Baptist wanted hope. Look, every single one of you here, I know you did not come here for my sermon or for the music. You came here because you needed to be reminded of the hope that is in Jesus that's found nowhere else. What would happen if we just stopped assuming, oh, they don't want to hear this. They don't care about this. They don't look like someone who would want to hear this. What would happen if we just stopped assuming that people don't want to hear the good news about Jesus and we simply stepped into their lives and said, this is what I've seen. This is what I've heard. This is the invitation. What did we do earlier? We witnessed to the fact that Jesus entered Jerusalem. What is the invitation for us to witness to people, to just simply stick to the facts, share the facts of here's how Jesus came into my life. Here's how healing came into my life. Here's how light and hope and joy came into my life. Here's how I was stuck and now I'm free. That is the invitation to us as disciples and followers of Jesus. And that's all Jesus has called us to be. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will be my witnesses. I'll empower you. I'll strengthen you. I'll demonstrate to people how good I am. You just tell them about me. You just point people to me. So can you point? Are you able to recommend a restaurant or a movie or a song? That's all the Lord's calling us out to do, is in faith to share the good news that he's here. His kingdom has come into the midst of our own little personal kingdom that is not getting us anywhere. And announcing, no, I know your kingdom's not going so well, But King Jesus is here. He can heal you. He can touch you. He can be for you what you and no spouse, no person, no one else could ever be. He is a hope collectively. And what if we stop keeping that hope to ourselves and just like we do with our music and our movies and our food, went out and just simply invited people to experience it with us? Man, Caroline County, Bowling Green, Virginia, the United States, the world would feel that. It would feel that. Not because we're great, but because He is great. He is here. His kingdom has come. It's available to us all. And so I just invite you right now, just where you are, just personally, I just want you to think to yourself. I just invite you maybe to just close your eyes, just for the sake of distractions. Just close your eyes and just ask yourself, wow, how has Jesus been there for me? Where was I before Jesus and where am I now? Maybe you came to know Jesus as a child and you can't even remember what life was like before Jesus. Well, what was it like when you went through a divorce? How was Jesus there for you in that? What was it like when you were diagnosed with cancer? How did you experience Jesus being there for you in that? What was it like when you were not sure you would be able to afford your rent in the next month? How was Jesus there for you in that? Whether it's a moment in your life or whether it's just your life before Him or after Him, I just invite you to think to yourself, man, what's the difference been? In other words, what have I seen and what have I heard in Jesus? And I just invite us all to take just a minute just to think to ourselves about that. Church, don't keep that to yourself. Please don't take that to the grave. Don't go to your deathbed saying, wow, I'm so glad I avoided awkward moments. I'm so glad that I never embarrassed myself. I'm so glad I never stepped into someone's life to share hope with them. No, go to your grave saying, wow, Jesus gave everything for me. And not just for me, but every person I've ever come into contact with. And I'm so glad I got to share that with them. It's who we are. We are witnesses. We are not the Messiah. We are witnesses. Let's go and witness and invite others in. Let's pray. Oh Lord, where would we be without You? Like Lazarus, we would still be rotting in a tomb. But Lord, You came. You came. You touched us. You moved into our lives. And our lives have never been the same. Lord, we are so intimidated by this vocation of sharing You with others. But Lord, if we truly understood what You're calling us to, it wouldn't be intimidating. It would be exciting. It would be like sharing our favorite song, sharing our favorite movie, sharing our favorite food. We trust, Lord, that You're better than all of those things. Lord, help us to just simply point people to Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us to not just be people going off to witness something that we have not experienced personally, but each day just soaking up Your goodness and Your love through Your word to us. And as we go out to be with family, with friends, with neighbors, with strangers, just simply being witnesses of that in our own unique personal way. For we love you. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.